From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Fulfilling the Task, part of a series of studies in the Book of Acts. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 8. My beloved. This was a golden name which the ancient church in her most joyous moments was wont to give to the anointed of the Lord. When the time of the singing of birds was come, and the voice of the turtle was heard in her land, her love note was sweeter than either as she sang, My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Ever in her song of songs doth she call him by that delightful name, My beloved. Even in the long winter, when idolatry had withered the garden of the Lord, her prophets found space to lay aside the burden of the Lord for a little season, and to say, as Isaiah did, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. Though the saints had never seen his face, though as yet he was not made flesh, nor dwelt among us, nor had man beheld his glory, yet he was the consolation of Israel, the hope and joy of all the chosen, the beloved of all those who were upright before the Most High. We, in the summer days of the church, are also wont to speak of Christ as the best beloved of our soul, and to feel that he is very precious, the chiefest among 10,000, and the altogether lovely. So true is it that the church loves Jesus and claims him as her beloved, that the apostle dares to defy the whole universe to separate her from the love of Christ, and declares that neither persecutions, distress, affliction, peril, or the sword have been able to do it. Nay, he joyously boasts, In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, that we knew more of thee, thou ever precious one! My sole possession is thy love. In earth beneath or heaven above I have no other store. And though with fervent suit I pray, and importune thee day by day, I ask thee nothing more.
Love with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught.
Christ the Son.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to Acts chapter 14, part of the record of Paul's first missionary journey. Having been commissioned by the church in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas traveled to a number of cities in Asia Minor, in each of which they encountered particular problems. In Iconium, there was great division caused by unbelieving Jews who were angered by Gentiles receiving the gospel. In Lystra, there was great danger, as those hostile to the gospel stoned Paul. After preaching in Derbe, the apostles showed great dedication as they returned to the scenes of their rejection to confirm the new converts. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called Fulfilling the Task.
Here's a note of the hardness of men's hearts. And it's a notice also of the sovereignty of God in salvation. Because although there was this mighty sweep of revival power and saving grace, although there was such overwhelming force in the apostles' preaching, yet there were unbelieving Jews. Their hearts were so hard and wicked and carnal. As the apostle John put it concerning the Jews who listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, they could not believe. My, that's a tremendous statement. They could not believe. Couldn't. Why? Because they were sinners. Because they were depraved. Because it takes a miracle of grace to give faith to a dead sinner. It takes a miracle of grace to bring a man to his knees. And here were these ungodly men just showing the natural wickedness of the heart. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Notice Satan's tactics. They're always the same. First of all, he has passion. He stirs up the passions of the people. If you can get man's passion stirred up, that is a passion that has no connection to knowledge, then of course you'll find you're always doing the devil's work. There ought to be passion in connection with knowledge. Passion in connection with knowledge, in connection with scriptural wisdom, is a good thing. But passion, apart from knowledge, is an evil thing. And then you will notice prejudice. They caused their minds to be evil affected. They poisoned their minds. And the devil has never progressed beyond those tactics. He's still doing the very same thing today. And that's how he sought to frustrate the labors of the apostles. Now, verse 3. Is one of those verses you can easily miss the force of. Verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, caused their minds to be evil affected, in other words, poisoned the minds of the people against them. Time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. In other words, because of the opposition, because of the enmity, they stayed on. They stood their ground. They really got to work on a more intensive basis than ever before. You see, when these men got on fire for God, unless the Lord told them it was time to move on, the devil wasn't going to shift them one way or the other. Long time, therefore. I like the therefore. As I said of another verse, it shows you the character of these early men of God. Their stalwart courage. Long time therefore. Let Satan hurl his thunderbolts. Let the devil get mad. Let the worldly crowd make life hot for them. Let them lose their reputation. Let them even stand in danger of their lives. These men of God will say, because of the opposition, because of the danger, we're going to stand four square for God. God save us from anything less than that. God save us from the compromise that has so come to mark the church in these days. God save us from pandering to the devil, of seeking the lowest common denominator. God save us from the curse of this ecumenical age when the devil's crowd gets against us. The ecumenical preachers would say, well, now let's sit down and talk it over. Let's see what accommodation we can come to. Let me say that men like Paul have no accommodation to come to with the devil's crowd. There is no accommodation that a fundamental Reformed Protestant Bible-believing and gospel-preaching church can come to, either with religious apostasy or with moral corruption or any other sort of iniquity. We are called to stand. We stand against all that the devil's for. And the fact that he's against us should only encourage us to stand all the more resolutely than ever we have stood before. You will notice this ministry. It was a fearless ministry. And it was a faithful ministry. They spoke boldly, that's their fearlessness, and they spoke in the Lord. In the Lord here, I believe, indicates the subject that they were speaking about. It was upon the Lord. They were always talking about the Lord. Christ was everything to these people. Oh, I would to God that again we would recapture that in our ministry. Nowadays, I speak to myself here as much as to anybody else, but let us learn this, that the great subject of the apostles' ministry was Christ. And everything they had to say was about Christ. Oh, that we would indeed learn to put the Savior at the very heart of all we have to say to the people. Let's give them Christ. That was their ministry. Looking a little more narrowly at their message, what did they have to say about Christ? You will find it's given to us in the Word of God's grace. Verse 3, that's what they were preaching. The Word of God's grace. The message, not of man's ability, but the message of God's grace. The message not of man's merit, but of God's grace. Grace is the message that brings the sinner into the dust. Grace is the message that tells a man that he's dead, he's depraved, and he's damned without Christ. Grace is the message that says that God hath rent the heavens, and in the person of his dear Son hath come down. Grace is the message that says Jesus paid it all. Grace is the message of the shed blood and of the bodily resurrection of Christ. Grace is the message of justification for ungodly sinners by faith in Jesus Christ. Grace is the message of heaven instead of hell for men born in sin. My friend, let's get back to this. The Word of God's grace. I keep on saying it, and I think that I need to keep on saying it. Nowadays, when I hear preachers preach, I listened to one not too long ago, and this actually was my comment to my wife as we were driving along listening to him. I said, poor wee God, there he is, wants to do so much, and he can do so little. Poor wee insignificant God, and almighty man is standing in his way. Oh, let's get back to the Word of God's grace that sees God as God, that preaches God as God, that gives the gospel in all its pristine purity and in all its glorious fullness. That was their message and the might behind it. Let me emphasize this. You can have the words of the message right. That's not the only thing that made apostolic preaching. There was mighty power behind it. You will notice in verse 3, the Lord gave testimony. The Lord gave testimony. God, as Paul put it in Hebrews 2, also bearing them witness with diverse signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And at the end of the day, unless we have the Lord's testimony to our ministry and our message and our preaching, we have nothing. You see, God blesses preaching, but it is not just in the preaching. It's not just that I can get up and say so many words and make so many doctrinal points. There are people, and they can preach all the right doctrines, and they haven't tuppence worth of power from God. They can't do anything. They're never going to see revival. Back in England, there have been a race of people for some time now. Strong Calvinists believe in the Reformed faith and all the rest of it. They haven't saved England. It's a country that's gone to the devil. It's a country that's one of the most heathen countries in God's earth. And I mean that literally. What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. There's the lacking of the testimony of God to the preaching. My friend, never let us lose sight of this in our praying. Lord, give us the power of the Holy Ghost. Why, that's what we've got to get back to praying for and pleading for. Let there never be a day but that we are found at the throne of grace crying for the power of God, for the testimony of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord testify to our ministry. When he does, you will notice in verse 4 the fruits of the apostles' faithfulness. The multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Do not think when you've got God's blessing that everybody's suddenly going to be for you and suddenly you're going to be riding on the crest of the wave of total and absolute popularity, for you're not. In fact, the blessing of God will bring this church into more danger and more opposition, more bitterness and more hatred than anything we have ever known before. And certainly that's what happened to the apostles. There was then a division. Notice this very carefully. Verse 16, to the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. So here are two results for the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God in faithfulness is going to result in the salvation of some and the damnation of others. It's going to bring some to Christ, and it is going to confirm the condemnation of God upon others. Because there will always be division. The Lord Jesus Christ himself had this division in his ministry, and so did his apostles, and so it is today. This division indeed runs right through this congregation this morning. On the one side are those who by the grace of God have come by faith to receive Christ. On the other side there are those, and they have been hardened in their sin, and they have gone on, confirmed in their ungodliness, rejecting Christ and his grace. Great division. Part with the apostles, and part against them. Part with Christ, and part against them. My friend, there's division in Iconium. There's division in Greenville. There's division here. And I wonder where you stand with God in this matter. I wonder, are you with Christ or are you against him? Look very quickly at Lystra, verse 6 through to verse 19. And this is where we have got to make most of our time very, very quickly. You will see that there was great danger here. Now in verse 7, you will notice very carefully the constant occupation of the apostles. Verse 7 says, there they preached the gospel. Constantly at and on the job. That's their constant occupation. But look at verse 11 and then verse 19. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Then look at verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Two dangers. First, the danger of deification. And second, the danger of death. The first danger, the first opposition, was to come and exalt the messenger rather than the Lord. Notice the miracle that caused this. We haven't time to ponder the miracle of the healing of the impotent man. But when Paul, by the power of the Spirit of God, spoke to this impotent man and said, stand upright upon thy feet, and he leaped and walked. When that miracle was done in an instant of time, immediately the attention was focused on the instrument, on Paul, and then Barnabas. The subtle old serpent is still at that today. That's why an elder in the church, whether he be a ruling elder or a ministering elder, should not be a novice, lest he be puffed and lifted up with pride. The devil will come as soon as there's blessing. If he can't stop the blessing one way, he'll try to stop it another. As soon as there's blessing, he'll come along and he'll get at the messenger or the minister of God And they try to focus such widespread attention and adulation upon the minister that the minister, the preacher, the evangelist will actually take the glory that belongs to the Lord. And of course, the Lord has said, "My glory will I not give to another." I always detest these movements which are built upon the name of a man. I detest a movement which replaces Jesus Christ with an evangelist or a miracle worker or something else like that. My friend, let's remember, the glory must be all the Lord's.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.